Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your episode for Tuesday, January 23rd. This is your host, Matt Shook, and we are getting ready for the ill-timed reminder of Donovan Mitchell being a superhero for the Utah Jazz leading up to Wednesday's game as the Jazz will visit the Detroit Pistons, the team that passed him up in the first round. And while the Pistons are mired in their five-game losing streak, not a good time for him to come to town and dredge up those memories and stories and whatnot. But as I said, Matt Shook, your host, that's me. I'm on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also follow us on the Locked On Pistons account on Twitter as well. And we got a Facebook page, follow that at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. And today, a nice special episode as I talked on Monday with Jamie Samuelson. We had a wide-ranging Pistons discussion. Jamie is the co-host. You know Jamie is. He's the co-host of the Jamie and Stoney Show with Mike Stone on 97.1 The Ticket, the morning show. He's been on with everyone you can imagine in Detroit sports radio over the years. Greg Henson, Greg Brady, Michael Stone, Bob Wojnarowski. And I know all those guys, or most of those guys anyway, as I interned for Jamie in the WDFN days back in the Farmington Hills studio, not the studio, the Southfield studio, as I mentioned in the interview incorrectly. But Jamie was my, I interned for Jamie and then became kind of the backup producer after I interned for him. And we had a good, we've had a very good relationship over the years. And I think he kind of asked for me whenever the regular producer was on vacation while I was working at the Port Huron Times Herald. And Jamie's been great to me over the years. And I just want to say thanks again to him for not only just joining us for this interview today, but for all the advice and help that he's provided for me for over the years. So wanted to get that out there as well as hopefully maybe he listens and hears that. So thanks, Jamie. But anyway, sports jerseys. Jeremy, not my cousin Jeremy, but sports jerseys are expensive and they have a short shelf life. The season you invest in one, you know that guy is getting traded soon. Rep the Squad is your answer for all of this. It's a mail-in jersey subscription service for authentic jerseys, not the cheap ones. It's genius, and Detroit is one of their initial markets. They're investing in the D and investing in Locked On Pistons, two of your favorite things. So you should get on board with them. Switch between your favorite styles and stars whenever you'd like. Theo Riddick, Kenny Galladay, your two favorite Detroit Lions, Calvin Johnson, Andre Drummond in blue, Andre Drummond in white, Isaiah Thomas throwbacks, Reggie Jackson in blue. They're all on there. New jerseys arrive fresh and clean in 2 to 3 days. It's like the old Netflix system for authentic jerseys. Perfect for your kids who are going to grow out of them anyways. Cancel anytime. That's a great gift idea. Gift subscriptions are available. And the perfect gift for the sports fan in your life. Locked, L-O-C-K-E-D, if you didn't know how to spell locked, is the promo code for 2 weeks free. Again, promo code locked, L-O-C-K-E-D, at the website repthesquad.com. Support this podcast. Enjoy this fine product and service. And rep the squad this season. So I got this interview with Jamie Samuelson, a great interview. And when I say great interview, I always kind of catch myself saying that doesn't mean that I was great. I just mean that the guest was great. And I appreciate them coming on. Hopefully I got out of their way in the interview. But like I said, I wanted to correct myself. I did say the WDFN studios were in Southfield. They were actually in Farmington Hills on Halsted. I don't know why I said that and forgot that. But thanks to Jamie for having the restraint to not correct me on there as well. I think it's because when I was in elementary school, we took a field trip to the Fox 2 studios, and back then they were in Southfield. I'm not sure if they still are or not. Maybe a listener can correct me or back me up on that. But, and I also think that, I'm actually not familiar with this either, but the Ticket Studios, where Jamie and Stoney do the show on weekday mornings from 6 to 10 in the morning, I think they might be in Southfield now too. I don't know that to be sure. Actually, I've never been to the Ticket Studios. And, you know, obviously this is the kind of thing that no way you could Google and figure out yourself during show prep. But anyway, I've associated media studios with Southfield. So whatever, I'm sure you didn't care that I got that wrong before, and now certainly you don't care. But when we come back, we'll be talking with Jamie Samuelson about the Pistons and all the topics about this year's team, Stan Van Gundy, trade possibilities, why the Pistons aren't connecting with the millennials in Detroit, all that. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if you want men between the ages of 18 and 44 to be reached, then this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
And now we are being joined by 97.1 The Ticket's 6 a.m. weekday
co-host of the Jamie and Stoney show. He's been on Detroit Sports Radio since the beginning of Detroit Sports Radio, and he's my old boss from my WDFN intern and Schlepp producer days from the summer of 2004, which is now 14 years ago that I was an intern. And it was, of course, Pistons fans know that was the championship season as well, a happier time for Pistons fans. So Jamie Samuelson is joining us here on Locked On Pistons. What's happening, Jamie?
Hey, Matt. Yeah, good talking to you, and you did Schlepp for us. I believe you knew the route to the McDonald's and the Panera very effectively each and every morning, right?
Those people knew me very well after that year that I worked for Jamie and Brady on the morning show, got up at 4:30 in the morning every day. And I think I only fell asleep one time, I believe. It was one day. I think I dozed off a couple of times, and you and Brady had a little bit of fun with that.
Yeah, I remember looking through the glass and seeing your eyes close, which is impressive because I think Brady dozed off a lot more than that over the years. So well done. Well done.
In my defense, I was working a full-time internship that summer as well. So, I mean, I'm not trying to get back in your good graces or anything here, but we're talking Pistons.
You always were in my good graces. You have nothing to worry about there.
Well, I appreciate that. But a team that's not in the good graces right now, we could talk WDFN memories in the Southfield studio forever. But unfortunately, I don't think anyone wants to hear about the ins and outs of the Detroit sports radio business. But the 5-game losing streak that the Pistons are on right now, kind of aside, where do you see that this team is at right now? Do you think that there's a run still in this group, or is it all depend on Reggie Jackson coming back and being somewhat healthy? I mean, where do you kind of see where this team is at, you know, kind of like those hard feelings of the 5-game losing streak aside?
Yeah. It's a confounding time to be a Pistons fan, and it seems to be equally confounding for Stan, who I just feel like every game is almost a broken record. You know, we're just not playing hard. We're just not playing defense. And I think a lot of that comes down to motivation, and motivation, a lot of it comes down to coaching. I still think there is a run in this team because I've seen it. We've seen it this year. And I just have a hard time in my mind rectifying how they could go on the road and beat Golden State, or go on the road and beat Boston, or beat good teams like Milwaukee or Minnesota, and then lose like they did yesterday to New Jersey, or get blown out on the road like they did last month to Dallas. I understand that this has been a mediocre bunch really for almost a decade now. Well, it was worse than mediocre for a while there. But since Stan Van Gundy's got here, he's put, you know, more of a respectable look on this team. And so to see them at around 500 battling for the 8th playoff spot is not exactly a new thing for this team. But, boy, at the beginning of December, if you had told me that, I would have been totally disappointed. So I understand Piston fans who don't pay much attention are just going to look at the record and see, they're right on the outside of the playoff picture, pretty much where they always are. But, no, these guys are better than that. And I did think that they had turned the corner. So I wouldn't bet on them making a run, but I do think they have it in them because I think there's enough talent on this team. I really believe that.
And stepping back a little bit from the maybe getting in as the 6th, 7th, or 8th seed, or maybe falling just outside of the playoffs this year, maybe more of a macro sense, you got Andre Drummond, Tobias Harris kind of more establishing themselves this year, still young, still, you know, players that can lead teams, as we saw earlier this season. Reggie Jackson for 2 more years under contract, for better or worse in some nights. Luke Kennard, a future piece that's shown a little bit of promise. Do you think, kind of stepping back just from this season, the Pistons fans should be excited? I mean, is this team closer to the Eastern Conference Finals in a year or so? Or is this team, you know, kind of going backwards and going to be back in the top part of the lottery pretty soon?
Boy, that's a great question. And
Thank you, Jimmy.
I was truly impressed. Well, that's, you've learned from the best there, Matt.
Absolutely.
You know, I was really impressed by Drummond, the way he came back this year. At the end of last year, you know, the struggles of the free throw line, and just kind of the body language, some of the games, the back-to-backs, the lack of motivation. You know, I was concerned that we were losing him, that he was just going to go down that list of, NBA players with talent who just didn't apply themselves, and that would be the end of it. I'm not saying he would be out of the league or anything, but he just wouldn't be a player of impact. And I really appreciated what he said earlier in the year when he would read about a list of the, you know, burgeoning young stars in the NBA, and he wasn't on that list anymore where he was 2 and 3 years ago, and that really bothered him. And I really admired that because it shows a lot for a guy who's already made the big payday to admit that he's not happy with how he's playing and to double down his efforts. And he's had an outstanding year. I almost feel like the rest of the team has to take the lead from that. I mean, you're right. Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond have really both been the standouts this year. Obviously, Harris needs to be a better defender than he is. But it's the other guys. Are they going to take the next step up? I early in the year, I thought Avery Bradley was the missing piece, and I thought kind of the glue guy who was going to bring this all together. His has been an uneven season, marred a little bit by injury. You know, a guy like Langston Galloway, who was basically banished by Stan up until, you know, a week or so ago, and he's starting to play some more. When he first got here, I thought he was a brilliant addition because I thought it was exactly what they needed coming off the bench, a guy who could hit a couple outside shots. So, you know, I think the talent is there. I am starting to wonder about Stan Van Gundy and whether it's just going to be a different voice that's going to have to get through to these group, because, like you said, the Drummond contract is settled. The Jackson contract is settled. I mean, these are guys who are going to be here. The real question mark going forward is going to be Avery Bradley and what they decide to do with him in the offseason when he's a free agent. So I've had to pick between closer to the lottery or closer to the Eastern Conference Finals. I guess I'll say the Finals just because the East doesn't totally wow me, even though it's been improved. But, you know, I think the next few weeks are going to be really interesting.
And it's hard for us to get into Tom Gores' head with regards to Stan Van Gundy's future. And it's I know it's a sports radio and newspaper thing to declare that we got to fire Stan Van Gundy right now. And we can't get there as from the outside in many ways. But you wrote before the season on the Free Press blog on Freep.com that they kind of need to show some progress or he might be on the way out. From then till now, is there been any indications, or are you hearing anything? I mean, what's kind of the scuttlebutt? Is it need to get in the playoffs, and he's not going to finish this fifth year of the 5-year deal next year? Or what's kind of your feeling on his future? Or is it just kind of like, we've got a couple months left, and it could go either way, and that's what we're looking at here for the rest of the season?
Yeah, that's my feeling, Matt, but that's based on just, you know, same probably as you, as being a longtime sports fan, a longtime observer of the NBA, and just kind of the way things normally go. Because Tom Gores certainly hasn't really let anybody know anything, and it's not like, you know, the olden days of the Pistons where there were leaks everywhere, so you would hear about a guy being fired before the guy got fired. I mean, the only thing that Gores has really done here that came out of nowhere was when he intervened and fired Mo Cheeks a couple of years ago in the middle of the season, replaced him with John Lawyer. Everything else has been, you know, pretty quiet, pretty telegraphed, and to his credit, he's an owner who kind of hires people, puts them in charge, and lets them do their job. And I know he really likes Stan Van Gundy a lot. I know he appreciates him and really loves his honesty and probably loves his basketball acumen. But I also have to think that Tom Gores is a businessman. The Pistons have moved downtown this year. I think a lot of people were expecting just the natural uptick in ticket sales because of a new arena and people want to see the new arena. Maybe you're hitting into a new demographic, moving back downtown closer to Detroit or in Detroit. And that just hasn't happened. This team, I really think, had a chance to kind of recapture the imagination. I mean, I talked to people who work for the team who they really wanted to win the opening night against Charlotte just because how important they were. They said, look, we have only a few chances to kind of recapture the fan base, and this is a one big chance. Well, they won that night, and they actually won a lot early on at Little Caesars Arena. But really, December on, it's just been a real struggle. So I think if I'm a normal owner, I look at the situation, I look at Stan Van Gundy. I gave him total control of the organization 4 years ago. And if after 4 years, you haven't won a single playoff game in a league where 16 teams make the playoffs every single year, that's not cutting it. I mean, that's just not acceptable, particularly when you've seen other teams appear to be beneath the Pistons and then pass them up on the way towards the top. And when you see some of the players who Stan Van Gundy has passed on in the draft, who obviously have gone on to have very solid starts to their NBA career in lieu of guys who he's drafted. And it really has, you know, there's not a lot for him to hang his hat on, that's for sure.
Kemba Walker is out there Friday. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com mentioned that the Hornets are throwing him out there in trade discussions, maybe even trying to start a bidding war with him. Do you think that's a move they should make to kind of, obviously you're going to have to give away some of the future pieces for that and maybe even take on another big contract that Charlotte's trying to unload? Or do you think that maybe they should be thinking about maybe a little bit more of a minor move along those regards, or maybe even a little bit of a minor sell at some point? I mean, it's just hard to put your finger on where this team is at and where they're going. And then you got Stan Van Gundy's tenuous situation too. I mean, what would you do if you were kind of running the show for the next few weeks?
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head right there when you said the next few weeks. I mean, I got to assume that in their conversations, Jeff Bauer and Stan Van Gundy, and maybe even Tom Gores has been part of these conversations as well, have basically looked at the next few weeks, looked at the games they're going to play, and basically said, look, if we're here, we'll do this. If we're here, we're going to do this. And if we're here, we're going to do this. Because I just find it hard to believe that they're sitting looking at the big board like we are, wondering if they should buy or sell at the trading deadline. I mean, it's amazing to think about that. We really don't know if they are going to be buyers or sellers. First of all, the big question is Reggie Jackson, right? And how healthy he's going to be and when they can expect to get him back. And so the update on his ankle, the progress on his ankle. I mean, Kemba Walker is coming off an all-star season last year with Charlotte. He's obviously an incredibly talented score-in-bunches type of guy. But again, much like every other guy on this roster, with the exception of maybe Avery Bradley because he was playing on the Boston Celtics, has not had a great deal of postseason success or experience. So are you just bringing in another player? I mean, sometimes the Pistons look like a fantasy team, and maybe not a very good fantasy team at that, but you got a guy in Reggie Jackson who gets points and assists. You got a guy in Drummond who gets points and rebounds. You got a guy in Tobias who gets points. I mean, yes, theoretically, they should add together to comprise a good team, but the parts just don't always seem to fit together, and does Kemba Walker really fit that? I think it would be fiscally responsible for them if they're right around 8th or 9th in the Eastern Conference to actually look to trade Avery Bradley at the trade deadline, otherwise risk losing him in the offseason. And then you lose KCP for one half a year of Avery Bradley or 1 year of Avery Bradley. And yeah, that gives you more financial freedom because to sign KCP would have been probably too much money for the kind of player that he was or is. But I think it might give them a little bit more flexibility moving forward.
A lot of confusing questions about the Pistons. And like I said, it should be an interesting next couple of weeks with regards to what Stan and, like you said, Jeff Bauer need to be doing going forward and where they think this team is at and maybe where they think their job security issues are at as well. But, Jamie, some of the larger issues with the Pistons right now, you know, we know about the empty seats at Little Caesars Arena. Why do you, and the NBA is a newer league than some of the more Detroit established franchises. They're always, you know, the Lions are always going to have their fan base, the Tigers, of course, the summer only game in town, but the NBA fan base, it's younger. We know about that. They're all on Twitter and they're all that kind of stuff, but why hasn't, and it doesn't even seem like the young fans in Detroit are quite connecting. And is that just the malaise of the last 10 years, the lack of playoff? I mean, is that all there is to it? But why isn't this team and this franchise connecting with the mainstream Detroit sports fan that might be in his 20s or 30s right now?
I think the answer is probably in some sense all of the above. You know, I've lived in Detroit for 25 years, and you know, in my time here, the Piston fan, the generic Piston fan, and I'm sure anybody who's listening to your podcast is not a generic Piston fan because you know they're listening to a podcast about the Pistons. So I'm not talking to them, but the average sports fan here, I think the Piston fan has always been a bit of a fair weather fan. I mean, yes, in 04, they packed the Palace, and 05, you know, during that run, and obviously the Bad Boys are legendary in this town, but I arrived in Detroit about a month before Grant Hill arrived in Detroit, and he played here for 5 or 6 years at the Palace, and yeah, there were some 33 jerseys flying around, and I think he's one of the top players we've ever seen here, but the fans didn't really warm up to him like they have to some of the, you know, Chauncey Billups or Ben Wallace's by any stretch of the imagination, and boy, we used to have radio show after radio show about that. Why couldn't the fans appreciate how good Grant Hill was? Oh, he was too soft. Oh, he went to Duke, that whole thing. I also think we're in the age of the NBA right now, and I'm sure you've talked a lot about this on your show, where, you know, the term unicorn has now become commonplace for NBA fans, whether it's Giannis or KD or Russell or Steph Curry. I mean, you have all these players out there who are unique, special, superstar, do different kinds of things, seven footers who can hit three, undersized guards who can dominate like Isaiah Thomas and Steph Curry. And the Pistons really don't have any of those. And it's almost like the average NBA fan, you know, my son's 11, he's a big basketball fan, and he's a Warriors fan because, of course, the Warriors are the best team and they're an easy team to root for because they're fun to watch. But they
and their dad might be from the Bay Area as well.
That I will say I did influence. He's not a total fair weather fan. That has something to do with it. But yeah, but they have KD and they have Steph and they have Clay and they have Draymond. I mean, they have four guys right there who could easily be a franchise guy, and not a franchise guy in terms of necessarily building around, but a franchise guy in terms of everybody wants their T-shirt, everybody wants their jersey, everybody wants to be like them, and they practice doing those things when they're out on the court. No one's doing Andre Drummond out there because no one's 7 feet. And then who else is there? You know, I think Tobias Harris is a really good player, and he's a good guy in the community, and he's somebody to admire, but there's not the sizzle. You know, there's not the highlight reels. There's not the, you know, if you go play NBA 2K18, you're not the business. I mean, even if you're living in Detroit, probably you're not the Pistons. And until they get a player, and who, how do you get that player? You either stink and you get the first overall pick, or you get lucky and you find a guy like Giannis who nobody else thinks is going to turn into the next unicorn. But they have nice players. They have good players, and like I said before, statistically speaking, they probably should have a better team than they have. But boy, you know, Stan has missed out on Booker, missed out on Donovan Mitchell, missed out on a chance to maybe give that thunderbolt of a player who all of a sudden you're buying tickets to see, and in opposing arenas, player, you know, fans are coming out to see that guy. Pistons don't have that guy, and they haven't had that guy in a long time, and that, I think, has really hurt their growth and hurt their, and here's that word again, sizzle, or their Q factor, not just in Detroit, but around the entire, you know, NBA.
Yeah, a couple decent pieces, but not really connecting and not really putting it all together right now. It's going to be interesting to see what happens next couple weeks and this next year or so with this franchise. Yeah. But you arrived about the same time as Grant Hill, but your legacy in Detroit continues to grow as his does not. Jamie Samuelson, I want to thank you for taking the time. Follow him on Twitter at Jamie Samuelson as well. On 97.1 The Ticket, drive in to work with him on the Jamie and Stoney Show. Man, I want to thank the blog post at freep.com. I want to thank you for everything over the years and for taking the time today to talk to us here on Locked On Pistons.
Of course, Matt. Anytime. Great talking to you, man.
And that was Jamie Samuelson of 97.1 The Ticket. Thanks again to him for joining me. By the way, I got to know a lot of those guys, Mike Stone, Bob Wernowski, Sean Belegian, Greg Brady, Matt Shepard, Matt Derry, who hosts the Locked On Lions podcast that you should be listening to as well. I got to know a lot of these guys over the years from doing some of the shows, Rob Pasco, Rob Otto. I'm sure I'm forgetting some more names too, Larry Lee as well, Dirt Jordan, who hosted the Pasco show on the Lions pregame show that I produced for a season on WDFN as well. All good guys. It's, you know, sometimes the behind the scenes things, you hear things about certain people in media circles and whatever else. But it was great to me that those guys who I listen to every day and would still be listening to the Ticket if I was in Detroit every day. But all good guys. So Detroit radio sports listeners, you can be sure that the guys that you're getting your news from and getting to know on a, you know, one-way basis every year as far as a relationship every day, they're good guys, and they've been helping me out over the years as well. But like I said, rep the squad. Join the Jersey subscription service. Support the Locked On Pistons podcast. Get 2 weeks for free by using promo code LOCKED, LOCKED. And we got Draft Wednesday coming up tomorrow on Wednesday as well. So get on the Draft app, draft.com. Use promo code LOPISTONS, and you'll get free entry into your first draft, which should be the private Locked On Pistons draft that we do every Wednesday as well. If you need any other information on how to get into that, feel free to email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com as well. Wednesday's podcast will be looking ahead to the Utah Jazz and Donovan Mitchell, who will be coming in town. And also, you should be following the Locked On NBA Network Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net as well. We are on Spotify, so check us out there as well. That's the big news for the Locked On Network over these last couple days. And you should be following the Locked On Pistons Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-Matt Schoch as well. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks again to Jamie Samuelson, and we'll talk to you guys all again soon.